Hello, y'all. Welcome to the Christian Bible Study Ministry podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the Apocrypha and why these books are not generally included in the Protestant canon. But before we start the subject of today's program, I want to say, as I always do here at the beginning of this program, that no matter what is going on in this world, in your life, whether you're having family problems, material problems, you know, financial problems, or just whatever the case may be, you know, or maybe it might be something that is going on in your country, wherever in the world you're listening to this program from, remember this, that if you belong to Jesus Christ, guess what? He has you. You know, you are in the palm of his hand. He knows what you're going through, and he will protect you. Maybe not the way that you want to be protected. Maybe you want to be totally delivered immediately from whatever trials and circumstances that you're going through. But he has you. His spirit lives within you. That is your assurance. But today, like I said, we are going to be not necessarily reading from any particular scripture here, but we are going to be talking about the Apocrypha. For those of you who may not necessarily know what the Apocrypha is, it is a collection of books, from what I've read, about 54 in total, that has not gained widespread acceptance as canon in the Christian church. Some churches like the Roman Catholic Church and some churches, like the Eastern Orthodox churches, view some, or if not all, of these books as being canonical. We will go into the reasons why there is this disagreement and disparity in the churches today and how this happened. So the Apocrypha contains some 54 books in total. I think most of what we're going to be talking about here probably, to some degree, will mostly deal with books that were written in between the Old and New Testaments. I think those people who accept these books as canonical call them the deuterocanonical books. I think it has some kind of meaning along the lines of the second law or the second books of the law or whatever. And the rest of these books were written after the time of Christ. In at least a couple of councils shortly before 400 AD, the Catholic Church had considered these books canonical, but this was not done as a whole on the part of the church, and most people did not accept them as part of the word. Whatever councils were held around this time were not a official announcement or confirmation what have you on the part of the church. It was just a group of people who got together and said, hey, we believe these to be the inspired word of God. The ancient Hebrews did not see them on the same level as what we regard as scripture today, but that they were useful, they were seen as useful for learning. So the ancient Hebrews, this is one reason why the church at large, I believe, has not accepted the apocryphal books as canon, because you have the ancient Hebrew, we look at the ancient Hebrews, and they did not regard these books as being written by genuine prophets, you know, people who were inspired by God. Now, there are some things in these books that they believed were historically accurate, so they would use these books as kind of a historical reference, I guess, but they were not divinely inspired. And we know, or we will see, that in the New Testament, Jesus, I believe, confirms this when he talks about the blood of Abel, you know, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, and you may kind of see what I'm talking about. However, after the Protestant Reformation began with the 95 Theses of Luther being disseminated in 1517, the Catholic Church officially declared the Apocrypha as part of the Word. Now, this seems to me, and I want to stop here for just a second, excuse me, I'm not trying to demean or attack the Catholic Church here. That is not my intention. So if there's any there's anybody listening to this who is Catholic, please understand that I'm not trying to go on the attack against the Catholic Church here. That is not my, I'm just simply stating what I believe to be the biblical truth here. That is not my intention. It is not my intention to demean anybody here. So this seems to be, the inclusion of the Apocrypha seems to be a response by the Catholic Church to the Protestant Reformation. It's like, okay, well, the Protestants have left the church, and so now as a result of this, we're going to include the Apocrypha. And now with regards to the contents of the Apocrypha, there seem to be certain errors, historical and theological errors, that are within these books. There seem to be certain historical errors which would invalidate the Apocryphal writings. Because the Bible, we must remember that if anything is truly part of the biblical canon, that there is no falsehood in it. There is no contradiction in there, because it is, after all, the Word of God. But in the apocryphal books, there seem to be some historical errors. In the book of Tobit, it is claimed that the man Tobit, he claims to have been alive when Jeroboam revolted in 931 BC, and when Assyria conquered Israel in 722 BC, which is over 200 years, and yet Tobit lived only 158 years. Judith identifies Nebuchadnezzar as king of the Assyrians when he was the king of Babylon. However, if Nebuchadnezzar, of course, happened to rule Babylon when and if it conquered Assyria, then this particular issue would be resolved. But from what I have researched, the king of Babylon at the time of the conquest of Assyria was Nabopolassar. Nabopolassar was the king of Babylon when Assyria fell. But perhaps, this goes back to what I was just saying just a minute ago, perhaps the strongest argument against their canonicity is that Christ never referred to them as canonical when, in Luke 11:51, Jesus referred to the blood of Abel and the blood of Zechariah. Abel was the first martyr in Genesis, and Zechariah was the last in the book of Chronicles. Now, the way the Hebrew canon is organized, I've learned this, is Chronicles, the last book in the Hebrew Bible, and their canon is Chronicles. But that, but the way their canon is organized, the book of Chronicles contains everything from Chronicles all the way to Malachi. So what Jesus is saying here is that these books comprise the Hebrew canon, everything from Genesis to Malachi, the same books that are in most Protestant Bibles today. We see that. We see that Jesus was saying that this is the Hebrew canon. Now, theologically, the Apocrypha presents what I consider to be some even worse issues. Perhaps the most well-known of these is the belief in purgatory, which the Catholic Church says is supported by 2 Maccabees. Purgatory is the concept that when you die, we are sent to this place to be purged of our sins. But the Bible teaches that faith in the blood of Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, is what purifies us from sin. Remember when Jesus said, he was talking to one of his apostles, that he who is already clean need only to wash his feet. Jesus is saying, hey, you're already clean. If you're already clean, you don't have to be cleaned again. You don't have to bathe again. You know, but in the course of this life, we're going in the course of our Christian walk, we're going to get mud on our feet. We have to have that feet washed off in order to be, you know, just in order to get the dirt off of us. It's like we have to confess our sins. You know, we have to do that to keep our fellowship with the Lord the way that it should be. Something to think about. But yet the Apocrypha also allows for the usage of prayers to expedite someone's departure from purgatory. Remember that Jesus paid the penalty for all of us to be purified. We are clean if we are truly His. You know, once you're done, once your life on this earth is over, there's nothing more that you can do or that people can do for you. Your fate, whatever, you know, your fate, your eternal rewards, wherever the case may be, it's sealed at that point. In Tobit, we also find the use of magic being commanded to deal with a demon. It is said that the innards of a fish, when roasted, can drive away demons. Something about the smoke of a fish can drive away demons. I guess the idea being that the demons didn't like the smell of fish. Now, this we know is false, as only the power of God can do this. You know, and this is by far, this is far from an exhaustive study that I did on the Apocrypha, and I could do a lot more, I'm sure. But this is, I just wanted to bring up some of these issues here just to make people aware of why there is such a disagreement on these books here in the Christian church, and why there has been such a disagreement on these books practically since the time of the death of Christ. So, but I want to end this program by simply saying that I hope that if and when you choose to study the subject, that you'll be blessed with it, regardless of what your conclusions are. And I pray that anybody who is listening to this, whether it be you yourself or somebody that you know, if they do not know Jesus Christ, I pray that they would accept Him as their Savior. I pray that they would do so, because, you know, you're not guaranteed another chance. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not even guaranteed the next 5 minutes. So, dear Lord, I just pray that somebody was blessed, or maybe spurred on to learn more about some things through this program today. I pray that if there's anybody out there with any kind of deep spiritual needs, whether it be salvation or some other issue that they're having in their life, I pray that they would listen to you. And, you know, especially if they're lost, or, you know, or if they know somebody who is lost, I pray that they would accept the Spirit of Jesus Christ into their lives and begin a relationship with you. I pray that they would listen to you in any case. And it's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.